This morning's reading is taken from Acts 4, verses 1 to 22. This can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 1095. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name do you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then confer together. So what are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak, or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we can't help speaking about what we have heard and seen. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It's done it. Yay. Here we go. I'm only half of the sermon this morning, and I've got 6.5 to 8 minutes. So set your stopwatch, because I've got somebody coming to do the other half, and they're going to be about 6.5 to 8 minutes as well. So here we are, we're jumping into Acts. We haven't been looking at Acts like going through a book, so I just want to do something very quickly to set the scene for you. There's a major confrontation going on in this chapter. It shouldn't surprise us, but there is a huge confrontation between the kingdom of God and the world, the kingdom of the prince of the world. And it's a fitting place, isn't it, for us to focus on Halloween? What more opportunity for the difference between dark and light do you want than the revelry of last night? We went to bed early. I don't know why, because we were going to get an extra hour anyway. But we couldn't go to sleep for quite some time, because until about midnight, there was an awful lot of noise coming over our garden wall. And I realised that by tidying up the ivy, I'd taken away the soundproofing. But that's okay. It'll grow back quicker than I want. But you see, this confrontation is a culmination of events. So the first thing that's happened is that it's not doing it, is it? He says, "Ah, I don't know what to do now. It's beyond me. I'll go try this." there you go. You can see it all at once if you've got really good eyes. Crucified. Jesus was crucified, laid behind a stone. But there's a problem, isn't there? For the Sadducees, this is a real problem. Because they preach and teach that there is no life after death. That the soul, the spirit is not immortal. So they've got a problem because Jesus is raised from the dead. So the first problem is that there's been a crucifixion and then there's an empty tomb. They're suffering from empty tomb syndrome. He cannot have been raised from the dead, but there's no body. They've got a problem. And then the problem gets worse because he hasn't just appeared to the disciples, but he's starting to appear to people beyond that core group. And it's starting to spread. People are saying Jesus is alive. How do you know? I've seen him. You've what? And now, to make matters worse, the disciples are starting to carry out the ministry that Jesus exercised, and they say that they're doing it in the name and by the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You all know the story that has gone before. Most of you will have learnt it as a song in Sunday school, I expect. I learnt it as a song, but not in Sunday school, because I never went there. Sarah taught me. And Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. Do you know it? He asked them for alms, and he held out his palms, and this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and get up and walk. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. And this is a problem. It's a problem for a number of reasons. And if I could get that to come on screen, he says, I'd show you the reasons. But I can't. So you just have to read. Get big glasses. Come with binoculars next week. So there's big issues. The first one's the resurrection, isn't it? That's a big issue. Jesus has been raised from the dead, but there's a second issue here. And we talked about the fact that there's a confrontation between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world. And it's one of authority. And there's a number of things that are going on. You see, Jesus has said, when he was raised from the dead, he said, all authority has been given to me, so I am sending you. And now we are seeing the outworking of that promise of authority. Because here in front of the very council that condemned Jesus to die, we have Peter saying, there's no other name under heaven given to men by which you must be saved. Where's the authority in the room? It should be with the council, shouldn't it? It shouldn't be with an out-of-work fisherman who no longer has a boat. But it is, and the council recognise it. Now we're talking about our front lines, aren't we? There are times when you go on your front line and you speak for Jesus and you have no idea of the authority your words carry because you don't get the feedback. Now, this is not a boast, but I'm going to tell you a personal story. I went in front of the first female commanding officer in the Royal Navy. And I went in front of her to make a complaint because I'd been robbed by some erroneous information of my gratuity and my pension. And it didn't seem fair to me. And so I went in front of her to make a complaint, and the person I was complaining about lied. And I could do nothing about it because the way the rules are in the Navy is things on your arm make a difference. So if you've got a thing on your arm and you say I'm telling the truth and the other person's got a smaller thing on their arm and they say no, you're lying, you win. That's just the way it is. And she said, no, he's lying. I didn't give him that information and so I lost it. I lost a lot. And it was only afterwards, ages afterwards, that I was waiting at table at a dinner party at the Admiral's house, who I work for. And this female commanding officer was there. And whether she realised it was me or not, I don't know. But the story she told around that table was that she felt that when I'd spoken in that meeting, that I was the one who had the authority. Now, I think that that is highly amusing. I've had two times in my life when my kneecaps jumped, physically jumped. You've heard that description. I don't know if you've ever experienced it. It's a very strange thing. The first time, I was the chorus in a play at school, and I had to be on stage when the curtains opened right at the beginning of the play. And I was in a pair of green tights. And not only were my knees jumping, but you could see them physically move. And I just hoped that none of the parents would see them. And the second time was before I went into that meeting. I stood outside the room knowing that I was going in to make a complaint. And in all likelihood, the leading wren would say the same thing that she'd said up to that point. And I knew that I couldn't win in this situation. But I remembered something. I remembered that Jesus said that when we speak before men, we don't need to worry about the words we're going to say, because he will give us the words. He will give us the words. And he did. They weren't powerful and clever words, but they seemed to have worked. I didn't get my result. I didn't get what I wanted out of this. But somebody recognised it. Sometimes you don't realise that you have that authority. And we don't realise that we have power. There's no denying that power was involved. Peter and John's confidence before this council is a demonstration not just of their own commitment to Jesus, but of the same power that healed the man. That was a show of power. I do get a little bit annoyed with Luke here when he says that the bloke who's 40 is really old. Because it's a little bit of a slight on some of us, isn't it? If you're over 40, you're suddenly realising that, according to Luke, you're over the hill. But what Luke's saying is this bloke's been like this a long time. That's what he's drawing out, isn't he? Sometimes we live with illnesses that we've learnt to get around, don't we? We live with them. We live with wonky wrists and wonky knees and wonky this, that and the other. We wear specs and all of that. This guy got up and did something he'd never done before. He walked. And if that's not bad enough, and I know we're Baptists and we don't go in for this sort of hilarity and riot, but he danced. He went walking and leaping and praising God. You can't help thinking there's a bit of an echo of David there, dancing like a loony. And then the last big issue that's going on, we've had resurrection, we've got authority, we've got power, and there's public opinion. They don't know what to do because everybody knows what's happened. And it's really difficult to take somebody out and string them up for making somebody who was ill better. That's not going to work, and they know it. I wonder what it is they're really trying to protect. Because it does beg the question, doesn't it? You'll remember that they've already been given wise advice when they were trying Jesus. Just let him go. If this isn't a God, it will peter out. And they took no notice of that wise advice. And they handed him over to be crucified. And here again, they're in that same place of confrontation, aren't they? They could back off. They could just step back. But they don't. And I suspect the reason they don't is because Jesus changes everything. And actually, they quite like things the way they are. I mean, this Jesus is going to ruin their lives, isn't he? These guys, and they are guys, they've got a whole lot of male privilege going on in their society. And there's this Jesus who chose women to be the witnesses to his resurrection. He is shaking the foundations of their very existence. They rule the roost because they're the only ones who can speak for God. And this Jesus is doing things that undermine their franchise. What if ordinary people start going round and healing people? That's our business. What if ordinary people And then we get to the big picture. Can you take that off the screen for me, Keith? Because it's a pain in the neck. It's really annoying knowing that I've got something there and I can't show it to you. So imagine there's a big picture on the screen. And these words are there. And it says, resurrection. You see, that's what all of this is about, isn't it? Resurrection. When you read this story, do you get encouraged? Because you, like Peter and John, and like my experience with that female commanding officer, you too have Christ in you, don't you? So when you're in that place where you get an opportunity to say something and you think, well, should I? Will I? And you do, and nothing seems to have happened, I want you to be encouraged. Because Peter and John weren't in the room. They're sent out. They don't know what their words have done. It's only when they're outside of the room, and I do wonder how Luke got hold of the story, but we do know that within the Sanhedrin there were people who had already begun to follow Jesus. And if they hadn't begun to follow him yet, they were already suspicious that this was the Messiah. Because we know when they were talking about crucifying him, there were voices that were against the majority even then. It won't have got any better with the things that have gone on since. And so, when you go into those places, you have that same authority that Peter and John have in that room. You have that same power because Christ is in you. Matthew 10, verses 19 to 20. But when they arrest you, don't worry about what you're going to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say, for it won't be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So what are the takeaway points for us? Resurrection. We go into every place and situation born again, spiritually alive. As Paul writes, it's no longer just I, but Christ in me. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, at work, at school, in all of my front lines, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I added that bit about the front lines, just in case you're wondering. It's not that I've got a dodgy translation of the Bible in front of me. Authority, Christ in you. Jesus said, as he commissioned the disciples, that all authority had been given to him and he sent them. He passed on that authority and that's what's happening in this story. You also, we also are the recipients of that same authority. But just as Jesus didn't strut around, we don't exercise authority the way the world expects it. We might not win the argument. But when we leave the room and the council are left there talking and they say, what are we going to do about this? This is different. We have that authority. We might not go wrestling bears and fighting tigers. But we do go to our front lines and the front line does conjure up a sort of a military and battle sort of image, doesn't it? It does do that. I don't know if it's always helpful, but on this occasion perhaps it can be. You see, we go into a theatre of war, don't we? When we're out in the world. And I think that once again, Paul comes to our rescue with some words that can encourage us. He says this, writing to the Ephesians, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have..." What's the word? Power. "May have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is this love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." And now the second half of the sermon is going to be done by somebody on video. You know the technical difficulties we're having with this. We just ask that you would help us over this week as we read through the frontline material and as we watch the video in our small groups, to grasp that prayer for boldness that those disciples pray. Not that they could get out of the difficult situation, but that they would have the courage to speak for you, trusting that the promises that you made them would be true, that when they spoke you'd give them the words, that the authority that you'd bestowed upon them would prove to be true, that the power that you gave to them would come out through their words and their actions, and that lives and situations would be transformed, and people would come to know that the name that you gave to your Son and that you give to us is the only name under heaven by which people can be saved. And Father, just as their confidence grew in that name, we pray that ours would too. And wherever we go on our front lines this week, we ask that you would bring back to mind those big issues, but also the fact that you live in us by your Holy Spirit, Christ in us. Authority, power, and resurrection. May you be glorified in us this week. Amen.